The all-new Hyundai 2024 Santa Fe is equipped with everything you need to break free from the dull work week and embark on an adventurous weekend with your family. The all-new Hyundai Santa Fe's features like available H-Track all-wheel drive, standard third-row seating, available dual wireless charging pads ensure you can take on any adventure. Available H-Track all-wheel drives so you can take on the dirt trails and kick up some mud. Standard third-row seating so your whole family can experience the thrill together. Available dual wireless charging pads so no one gets stuck in the great outdoors with a dead phone. Whether you're tailgating out in the dirt lot, Carter Finley, shout out Carter Finley, or whether you're whitewater rafting, taking the entire family on an adventurous trip, maybe you're out camping at Mount Rogers. I used to go as a kid. Wish my parents had a Hyundai Santa Fe. The Hyundai Santa Fe is perfect for your family outing. Learn more about the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for complete details.
The perfect combination of versatile athleisure and training apparel has arrived. Thanks to the visionary minds of New Balance, Clutch Athletics, and Rich Paul, the designs reflect the heart of the athlete and the spirit of the community. With rising defensive stars Will Anderson and Chase Young on the roster, Clutch Athletics brings the best innovative gear to all athletes, giving them style and performance on and off the field. Learn more and purchase Clutch Athletics at newbalance.com.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Pick Six Podcast, CBS Sports, a daily NFL podcast. I'm Will Brinson, I'm your host. Pat's Bills happened. Felt like it was going to be a good game early on. Got kind of stinky. Bills rolled away with it. Belichick didn't even use his timeouts late. We'll get up to all of that. Joining me to break down the game, as we do after every primetime game from now until the sun careens into the earth. Ryan Wilson and John Breach. What's up, boys?
Breach, who's the worst play caller, Matt Patricia or Matt Canada?
Up high, down hard.
Trick question.
You don't commit to anything. We asked questions last week. You didn't have any answers to.
You're like, is that a Christmas tree? You're like, no, it's my.
I will say Matt Patricia. Pencil,
but
how's that?
I don't know, man.
I can't with the rookie quarterback, so I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt.
I think Matt Canada's worse. You know why? Because he's at least been a play caller for like his entire life. Matt Patricia's at least. I can't believe that Bill Belichick, the greatest head coach in the history of professional football, somebody widely regarded as nothing short of a genius. What is Ryan Wilson doing?
I'm just fixing something. Go ahead.
What is that on your? What is that attached to your microphone?
Don't worry about it. Keep going.
Like HR cam. What's going on here?
Maybe.
That he decided to give offensive play calling duties to his former defensive coordinator, who flopped miserably as a head coach in another spot. It's very bizarre.
Yeah, well, he's a rocket scientist, and he's a great defensive mind who no one in Detroit liked. They actually drank champagne when he left the building. So, sure, it's weird, though. Like, the Bill Belichick and Mike Tomlin trees aren't nearly as prolific as the Shanahan tree, for example, or the McVay tree, too, which is sort of connected, which is another conversation, but just something that I take note of when I sort of watch. Or the Andy Reid tree, especially. So, yeah, weird.
Your boy McCorkle, by the way, did you catch that little clip of what he said?
I saw someone in the comments mention that he wasn't happy with the play calling.
He said, I'm watching it right now. Throw the effing ball. The effing run game sucks.
So wait a second. What's the context? I can't see it.
He is, it's 24-10. He's walking to the side. He's on the sideline. Mm-hmm. He is apparently looking at Matt Patricia.
Presumably, or Joe Judge.
And he is super pissed off.
Is it more or less demonstrative than Kyler and Cliff?
Way more. No. This is.
I just put the video in Slack.
I just think in general that Kyler Cliff thing gets blown up a little bit more than it probably.
I blow it up all the time. I think it's hilarious. Right.
No, and look, they have an issue in Arizona. Nobody's denying that. But like to me, that one was kind of like a heat of the moment thing. This was like, I'm so sick and tired of playing for this effing idiot. It really doesn't make any sense. There we go. Look at this.
Billy's got it on if you're watching YouTubes.
I mean, it's very clear what he's saying.
Usually I give you a hard time about being noted.
The run game sucks.
Self-published lip reader, but you're actually right in this case.
I mean, it's impossible to like I would love to hear the bad lip reader NFL guys try to find something other than what like he might be saying there. Man.
While I watch this, I think you need to promote my podcast. So get on that, will you?
You have a podcast?
You didn't get the breach. Tell them what's up.
We've gotten 27 emails about it this week, Brenton. We were told to talk about it 17 different times.
Oh, no. I put a filter in on my email where I automatically deletes anything.
This is 100%.
That features, quote, with the first pick, end quote, which is Ryan Wilson's new NFL draft podcast. Featuring former longtime NFL GM Rick Spielman. Again, like if you've watched this podcast, if you followed me or Wilson for the last 20 years, oh my god,
it's a long time.
It's so long.
We've been married since 2008. Breach before
your hair plugs look nice though.
Yeah, your hair plugs look much better than when we first met.
I've aged a lot better than you have. That's probably my fault on both counts there.
yeah, but hey, listen, if I spent $100,000, I'd look better than I do right now too.
So ridiculous. My hair does look good tonight. Wilson is doing a draft podcast with Rick Spielman. I watched the first episode. It is very enjoyable. Wilson is an intelligent, concise host who lets Rick, who brings the most out of a former NFL GM. The talking about the Justin Jefferson conversation when they drafted Jefferson in was it 2020?
Mm-hmm.
It's outstanding. I was like, I was in the chat. I was talking. Yeah. Highly recommend you check it out. And the bonus is, if you're watching on YouTube right now on the Pick Six Podcast YouTube, you don't got to do nothing to watch it, because we're going to run Wilson's draft show here on this YouTube for a little while until I, you know, finally get like insecurity complex. And if you're an audio person only, you can subscribe by going to your preferred podcast platform, searching With the First Pick, and subscribing. Even if you don't listen or download, go subscribe and support Ryan Wilson.
You know
all the hell he's had to deal with here.
Here's what I said. By the way,
I saw Katie Mox is in the chat. So these freaking sports line anchors, who they think they are. She's going to be joining the show on Tuesday, so we're excited about that.
Yeah, she's making fun of you. December 1st, and Brenton is the only one without a Christmas tree in the background. Interesting.
I've got a cardboard box with a tiny tree that I can put behind me.
By the way, quickly, thank you everyone who sent comments and left notes and left reviews and all that. And like I always say, Brenton, and you can feel free to steal this.
Top 20 podcast.
That's Steve-O's doing, I would imagine.
Also top 20 in my heart, Wilson.
Thank you, Breach. If you like me, tell a friend. If you hate me, tell an enemy. That's how you spread the news. So words to live by. All right.
Oh, and speaking of podcasts, if you like me, by God, I don't know who still does, but check out Slow News Day. The Kevin Clark's Ringer show, I think it's on video too, but I did that with him. Should be out on Friday, so check that out.
Breach, are you at all shocked that Brenton's not sure if it's on YouTube or not?
It's
Brenton takes 10 seconds to push Wilson's podcast before immediately moving on to a podcast that is not CBS Sports related, but that he is on another network. That is the most classic Brenton move that has ever happened in the history of this podcast.
Also, hey, boo! Who are you? I was on with Clark, and he was like promoting me at the end of it, and he didn't mention the Pick Six Pod. I don't care, because I'm not a diva. Moving on. Thursday Night Football.
Yikes.
I mean, it was not sorry. 24-10 Bills. I mean, my defining thing from this is just how quickly this entire rivalry between the Bills and the Patriots, which was not a rivalry for a long time because Tom Brady and Belichick owned the Bills, excuse me, has now flipped into the Bills just owning the Patriots. The Bills punted, I believe, in the third. It was their only possession of the third quarter. There were only two possessions of the third quarter. It was a slog. That was their first punt since in 2.5 games against the Patriots. And Belichick it felt like they converted 42 third downs. As it turns out, it was just 9 of 15, which is still an insane 60% rate. Mac Jones is under pressure. I mean, the the Bills have flipped this division on its head. And I don't know how the Patriots get back short of firing Matt Patricia and Mac Jones becoming a random superstar.
Time machine's one option. It's funny, like September 29th, 2019, I was actually at the Ralph, as I like to call it, because the Bills were 3-0, and they were the Patriots coming to town, and this was going to be Sean McDermott's moment to stand up to Bill Belichick. And I remember distinctly before that 1 p.m. kickoff, right before the teams went off the field before the game started, McDermott beelined his way towards the Patriots sidelines to get he thought that something untoward was going on.
Oh, I forgot about that.
And it was weird to sit in the press box and we're like, what's McDermott doing? Because he's in fantastic shape to be – he's a little bit older than you guys. And you're like, oh, my God, he's going to go murder somebody. And that was – it always felt like he was more concerned about the ancillary stuff than the on-field stuff, like the mystique of Belichick and all that. And now, turns out, all you need is a franchise quarterback and a great GM and a great head coach and a bunch of really good players, and you can beat anyone, especially after they move on from their GOAT and Tom Brady. That game, actually, Josh Allen left in the middle of it. He got concussed. And that was not the Josh Allen that we see now. That was the 2019 season where...
By the way, the 2019, it was Belichick, Steve Belichick and like some other Patriots coaches were lingering around while the Bills were doing warmups. And he like sprinted over there and was like, get out the field!
Right. That could have waited until I finished my thought, but sure.
Okay, sorry.
But anyway, that wasn't the same Josh Allen by any stretch that we now see. In fact, there were plenty of questions about who he was going to be and whether they'd make the right pick and all that other stuff. But that feels like now 20 years ago, to your point, Brinson. They opened up a can of whoop-ass on the Patriots. And look, you can say, well, maybe Tom Brady has something to do with it. Look, that ain't the Bills' fault. That's the Patriots' fault. And there's no clear and easy solution about how to fix this if you're New England.
Well, I'm not even sure that it is – a Tom Brady related. It is. Look, Brenton mentioned how good of a coach Bill Belichick is. We all know that one of the best coaches, the best coach in NFL history, one of the greatest defensive geniuses in NFL history. But the guy has no idea how to stop Josh Allen, what to do with Josh Allen, how to even go about scheming to stop Josh Allen. I mean, you look at these games they have won going into Thursday night. They had won four of the past five games against the Patriots. And in those four wins, they had outscored the Patriots. They were averaging 35.5 points per game. And I'm not counting the dumb game where they only scored 10 points when it was 90-mile-an-hour winds. Under normal football circumstances, the Bills have been the much better team. And it's been because the Patriots defense just gets steamrolled. They just cannot stop this Bills offense because Josh Allen's such a wild card. Belichick's tried shadows. Let's put a spy on Josh Allen. It doesn't work. Let's do this. It doesn't work. Everything he tries doesn't work. And it's almost like he's just beside himself. And that's half the reason he gave up at the end tonight and didn't call timeouts. He's like, I don't want to see that guy running more plays. I want to get the hell out of here. I want to take my L and start planning for next week.
Breach, I know you don't like to weigh in on one side, like to straddle the fence here, but what would the record be in the last three games if they did have, in fact, still have Tom Brady?
I think they lose tonight. I think they probably beat the Vikings. And their last three games?
The last three matchups with the Bills in which they've
won. Oh, the last three matchups against the Bills. Well, the Bills steamroll in the playoffs. That 47-17 game, I think the Bills win that. I think the Bills win tonight. Maybe that one the day after Christmas last year changes. So at worst, I think the Bills are 2-1 and probably still 3-0.
Thank you. That means that Mac Jones isn't the problem. That's all I wanted to hear.
Oh, Mac Jones is not the problem.
Billy doesn't think so.
Yeah, that was ridiculous. Well, we're not living in that hot take from Billy. That'd be like if somebody said that. And again, like you can discount Bill Belichick all you want because of Tom Brady. If you suggest that Bill Belichick is an average NFL head coach because he doesn't, now that he doesn't have Tom Brady, or like he would never have become who he was without Tom Brady, you are an idiot. Period. End of sentence. Stop thought. Bill Belichick had two Super Bowl rings as a defensive coordinator. It took the Browns to the playoffs as a head coach before he came to New England. Now, does what happened with the Patriots for 20 years happen without Tom Brady? Of course not. It is a unicorn. It is an anomaly. It is not the norm in not just football, but all of sports. You don't have teams that win six Super Bowls in 20 years. It doesn't happen, especially in the modern game with free agency, with the salary cap, with all these things. it happened because of Belichick and Brady. The Pats are struggling. They also have a better record than the Bucs, who are struggling. Tom Brady won a Super Bowl. He's very good. Bill Belichick, also very good. If your take is that Belichick stinks without Brady, you are a person with a head that instead of a brain is filled with garbage.
Mm.
Disagree?
I think Breach thinks you're talking about him, so he's quiet.
Well, I mentioned garbage, so I got confused.
I was going to ask there, like, I mean, it does feel like we could see the drumbeat of these hot takes build. I mean, it's catnip. It's low hanging fruit. You bash Belichick when he's down. I mean, but we used to have this when they had Brady. Remember when they lost to the Chiefs?
That was before the Cincinnati game.
The on to Cincinnati game. And it's like, there were 40 million columns written. Is the dynasty dead? People wrote columns like, are the Patriots frauds who will never win another Super Bowl and only did it because they cheated and they won three more? Like, just.
Well, they are 6-6, though. And I think
they're not great.
We'll talk about it later. I mean, the playoffs are a real problem right now.
Absolutely. No one is denying that. They're not a great, it's not a great roster. They lack, I think you could absolutely point to the Hunter Henry and Johnny Smith signings. It's like, man, that
I'm not working. And the thing is, they had drafted two tight ends in the third round prior to signing those guys, and neither of those guys have worked out.
I mean, Asiasi's definitely cut.
He's out. And then
I'm not anti-hot take.
Dalton Keene is also the other third round pick. But I get it. You had so much success with Gronk and even Hernandez, Aaron, when he was there early on. I mean, their years together, that was sort of a game changer for how that offense worked. And then you try to recreate that, and clearly it's just you haven't been able to get your finger on the pulse of getting the right tight ends in. And yikes. Yeah, Hunter Henry hasn't. Neither he nor John Smith have been good.
All right, so the Bills, I thought the most surprising thing about the Bills tonight, I say that two things really not surprised me about the Bills, but like two things I thought that were interesting or of note. One, James Cook had more rushing attempts than Devin Singletary. That was very surprising to me. I don't know what's happening here with Josh Allen. Josh Allen's
he's meeting Jay-Z, and Jay-Z actually said to him, and Josh Allen said afterwards, I'm not sure if he knew who I was. He was asking to meet Gabe Davis, which is hysterical.
Wait, what? That's amazing.
Yeah.
Shout out to Gabe Davis.
Right.
God, can you imagine how good that would feel if you're like I was looking
not,
for
not Gabe, if you're Josh Allen.
But if you're Gabe Davis, you're like, holy hell.
Right.
Josh, go find Ryan Fitzpatrick. He knows who you are. You guys can hug it out.
You think Jay-Z knows who Ryan Fitzpatrick? I'm sure he does, but I mean, like, do you think he would see Ryan Fitzpatrick and be like, what's up, Ryan?
If you don't know Josh Allen, you may not know who Ryan Fitzpatrick.
That's what I mean, but it's Fitzmagic.
Yeah.
Of course, yes.
He was shirtless in that post-game press conference once with the chains. I mean, everybody.
Even shirtless, he was like just buttoned down, right?
I think he was wearing like a jacket. Oh, I don't remember.
You remember he was wearing a shirt. James Cook, more carries than Devin Singletary. Just, I find that very interesting, given the opponent, given the importance of this game. Stephon Diggs, awesome. And then, actually, there's three things. And then Josh Allen, to me, looked like pre-elbow injury-ish Josh Allen?
I got a big surprise for you, Brinson. Billy, I just sent you something that I want you to say. This is going to make your night, Brinson. Someone mentioned this in the comments, and your dreams are all about to come true.
Oh, no. No.
It's not the hair plugs before and after. Don't worry.
But I know. I see it in the chat.
Oh, who put that in there? Breach, I just put that. I just sent it to Billy on the down low, and you just.
Oh, what? No.
A big hat.
It's a TNF big hat, too.
He looks about as miserable as one should look in a big
hat. So not to get too far afield here, but Brian Robinson.
He's got a hat underneath the hat.
Yeah, it has to fit on your head. But Brian Robinson did his buddy the biggest favor on planet Earth by wearing that hat last week. And it is popped up everywhere. I don't want to get caught up on it, but I thought this was hysterical. Because I'm sure Josh Allen's head's enormous anyway, because he's 6'5 and 240 or whatever. So this is like a water cooler turned upside down with a brim on it. Well done, Josh Allen. And I think it's a nice punctuation mark to the way he played. We were talking about before the pod. Is he back from the elbow injury, Brinson? Is this just sort of the up and down roller coaster season that is Josh Allen? Or should we be no longer concerned with the blip on the radar of the last 2.5 games or so?
I mean, I think we'd still be concerned, but I thought generally he looked a lot more accurate with his ball placement tonight. I mean, the throw to, was it the Gabe Davis touchdown? That was, he like leaped up to avoid going out of bounds and like still slung it.
You know, it's funny though. Our buddy, Adam Beasley, who's now with Pro Football Network, was a long time with Miami Herald, made this point on Twitter. He said, yeah, it's really hard to imagine why Josh Allen throws so many red zone interceptions. I mean, plays like that, you have that. And then the other end, people get angry at him for, you know, quote unquote, forcing the ball. But that was an amazing play that maybe one or two people on planet Earth can make.
Well, to that point, yeah, I thought that was a great tweet by Beast. If like you, if you can make that throw, like physically, why the hell would you not attempt every throw? Like, I mean, of course you think you can put a grapefruit, like, you know, through a pea pod. I mean, like, it's insane.
I was wondering how that was going to end. I don't know.
I don't think anyone's ever thrown a grapefruit through a pea pod.
Brenton got to the dead end. Instead of turning around, he just floored it.
I was like, into a brick wall of an out.
I don't know what I'm going to say here, but grapefruit.
I actually know what you're saying, but to your point, he did do that. At the end of the first half, he was just throwing up jump balls to Steph Diggs into double and triple coverage. He should have had at least one intercepted. And that's, you know, you live or die with that. I think it was 3rd and 8. And he's like, worst case, I throw an arm punt interception. That's basically a down earlier punt. Maybe that's his thinking. But, you know, there were times the last few weeks where he made some truly awful decisions and didn't get away with them. He got away with a couple tonight. But, I mean, I think that's what got you there. I don't think you change that. You don't try to rein him in. I mean, Mac Jones is throwing terrible interceptions early in the year. And like, look, man, you see Bailey Zappe over there? That's your future. There's no one that's going to do that to Josh Allen, of course.
Well, and to the point about his injury, I feel like if there was one game the Bills had circled on the calendar, it was probably this one. Because it's, all right, if we can make it to this game with Josh Allen on the field, he gets 10 days off, the arm gets time to heal, and he does look like he's gotten better each week. This was the first game where it really looked like the elbow wasn't bothering him at all. I mean, he obviously had that laser throw to Stephon Diggs against the Lions. But there were also 3 or 4 throws where it looked like Brinson was throwing the ball, where it just like he lost his arm strength and just wildly inaccurate. And that happened against the Browns. It happened against the Vikings. And so it had happened in the 3 weeks after the Jets game. This is the first one where it was like, all right, maybe this guy's healed. Now he's got 10 more days to heal. And if he looks good against the Jets in week 14, then it feels like, you know, they got over the hump and they're back to being super Josh Allen.
Yeah, you know, my question was like, maybe it got answered. Will additional rest fix this elbow injury? I mean, or is it just something he has to play through? I really don't know. And I think this was, I agree with you, this is the first game we've seen Josh Allen play in several weeks where you weren't like extremely concerned about his short and long-term future. He looked healthy out there. He looked fine. He didn't take a ton of big sacks. Patriots, you know, kind of got from a little bit. I mean, it did feel like the Patriots could have won this game if they'd held the Bills to 25 or 30% on third down. Right?
Yeah. I mean,
I thought you were going to say 5 or 6 points. You got to score points to win games. So even if they had, it was going to be 10 to 9.
Thanks, Trent Dilfer.
They would have won, though, 10 to 5 to breach his point.
What was this quote?
Something about scoring more points than the other team, I think.
I think it was like, he's like, okay, I'll find it. I can't remember what it is. He's like, if you want to win games in this league, you can't lose them. Like, well, yeah, thank you.
He's not wrong. New UAB coach, Trent Dilfer.
I mean, he's real, baby. Here's what, let's see what it was. What did he say? He said, you cannot lose games in the NFL and still win.
Classic.
Let's take a break. When we come back, more talk about this thrilling Thursday night football game. Next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Did you know that while over 60% of Americans dream of starting their own business, less than 20% of them take the first step? The reason? Building a business is tough. Tailored Brands is simplifying the business journey. From launching and managing to growing your business, Tailored Brands isn't just another tool. It's your online business partner from launch to success. With Tailored Brands, building your dream business becomes an effortless experience. Their comprehensive platform guides you through every step, ensuring you have everything you need in one place. From LLC formation to bookkeeping, invoicing to acquiring licenses and permits, and even setting up your bank account, Tailored Brands handles it all seamlessly. And our listeners will receive 35% off Tailored Brands LLC formation plans using our link, taylorbrands.com/CBS Sports. That's TAILORBRANDS.com/CBS Sports. So start your business journey today with Tailored Brands.
All right. So would you put the Bills in the trust tree now?
How many limbs in it?
Well, you don't have a trust tree behind you like Wilson and I, so I'm not sure you're all to talk about.
I'll unpack it if you want, but it's not going to be done by the end of the podcast.
Got a trust wig.
I got John Bell back there. I don't need a Christmas tree.
John Bell, what? Who?
Lead singer of Widespread Panic. He's back there.
Oh, yeah.
JB, baby.
Yes, to answer your question.
I think so, too. I think the Bills are in the trust tree. Bills and Chiefs.
Man, we'll see. I mean.
Monogamous trust tree guy right now.
Not really. I mean, it wasn't only a week ago that the Bills almost lost to the Lions.
Mm. With bad Josh Allen.
Yeah. Right. So, like, to your point, maybe he's 98% healthy or 89% healthy, whatever it is that that's all he needs. I'll give it another week. I mean, they're the second best team in the division.
That's a fair take.
Although,
Eagles trust tree?
I want to see what happens with I'm just talking about the AFC. I want to see what happens with the Dolphins. Like I want to push the Dolphins.
Teron Armstead matters a lot, I think.
Well, you can ask you can ask both teams. I mean, both the Bills and the Patriots didn't have any offensive linemen, and Mac Jones was taking a whooping, and Josh Allen had to do some of the heavy lifting on his own. The strip sack was because the right tackle or left tackle Quisenberry decided that he didn't want to block anyone on that play.
KC 9-2, Buffalo 9-3, Tennessee next, third seed 7-4, Baltimore 7-4. Miami 8-3, Cincy 7-4, Jets 7-4. I'll be honest, like Breach, I don't know if you saw the short that we did for YouTube, right? Where I bet on the Bengals to win the Super Bowl.
Oh, you mean where you jumped on the bandwagon that I've been pumping for the past whole season? After they lost by three touchdowns?
Wait, what are you talking about pumping the bandwagon? You've been a Bengals fan your entire life. Your dad kicked in two Super Bowls. Like, you pumping the Bengals doesn't mean anything. It's like me.
No, I specifically meant when everyone jumped off after they lost to the Browns.
I never got. I'm just telling you.
You
I think
well Bengals, on them.
I oh, think, no.
Rough on him now.
No, he needs to know.
I don't know who's getting. I don't know who needs to know what right now. But that was. Good.
I don't either. I kind of want to put the Bengals in the trust tree too, but I won't.
You know what? I was just looking over that, and if I'm doing the AFC, it's KC, Buffalo, Miami, Cincinnati, and then probably Tennessee, Baltimore. And I'm not even including the Jets, the seventh seed. I'm including maybe the Chargers. I would put ahead of the Jets because I think the Jets are unless Mike White can save the season, and that's literally where we're at with the Jets. But I would put the Breach's Bengals fourth behind the KC, Buffalo, and Miami.
Take out Philadelphia.
Well, real quick, back to the AFC, Brenton.
I was going to say, how many AFC teams do you have to go through before you slot in the second?
Oh, okay.
I guess it would be San Francisco. You'd probably slot in after. Yeah. I mean, where does San Francisco slot in if they're in the AFC, is what I'm asking. Or Minnesota, if you prefer.
No, I prefer a case SSF.
Yeah, I was just trying to be polite. Amen. I don't want to get yelled at.
I'm not putting the 49ers in the trust tree unless they beat the Dolphins. Whoever wins that game is in my trust tree. It's the trust tree game for me. They need to have a little trust tree logo, and the winner gets in. I'm going to put the 49ers helmet in my tree.
Do we need it? We need to get a meet the fuckers trust tree clip.
My God, we're going to blur that one. That was dangerously close.
It's the name of the movie. You can say it.
Yeah, I know what it's called, but it sounds like you're O and you were.
My brain yelled at me for a second while I was starting to talk. Do the Patriots make the playoffs?
No.
No, they got a lot of work to do, and it starts with the offensive line, and it ends with the quarterback yelling in the direction of someone not named him about the play calling.
They've got a friendly-ish schedule.
Well, but again,
the Patriots do?
They don't have an offensive line. They don't have an offensive play caller. How are they going to manage that?
Well, they have a physical person calling plays.
Look at their last three games are against the Bengals, Dolphins, and Bills, and they're 6-6 right now.
But the Bills might not play anybody in that week 18 game.
I mean, the one seed probably still in line at the minimum. So unless that's out of the picture.
And also, Sean McDermott doesn't feel like someone he's going to give Bill Belichick a break.
Yeah, remember they absolutely like throttled the Dolphins in Week 18 one year. Was it last year or Week 17 2 years ago? It was like Matt Barkley throwing like deep balls.
Yeah, this schedule doesn't look so easy.
Well, I just think they can win the next two games, even though they're on the road at Cardinals, at Raiders, and you would get to what 8-6.
Wait a second, aren't you the revenge game guy? Aren't you at all thinking Josh McDaniels is going to take revenge, or is it the other way around?
No, I remember it's Belichick's revenge on McDaniels because he beat Belichick the last time they scored.
Well, of course, how could I have gotten that one wrong?
I know,
my mistake.
I'd have to eat throttle back this revenge game thing, or maybe I'd lean into it. Oh, look at that.
Yeah, there we go. Now I'm rooting for the 49ers, and I need some ornaments back
here. And you have a 49ers helmet, don't you?
I think they're going to roll the Dolphins just because I think Toronto is such a huge deal. All right, let's say the Pats win the next two. Does 9-8 get you in the playoffs in the AFC?
But how are they getting to 9-8?
No.
They're 6-6, so you'd be 8-6.
I understand that, but those last three games have breached notice, and if you're watching,
well, yeah, YouTube, you said if they win their next two, that gets them to 8.
8-6, so they have to, like, can they win one of the next three? Yes.
I don't think 9-8 gets you in the playoffs.
That's what I'm asking. Like, so in other words, if they win their next two, they have to find two of three versus the Bengals, versus the Dolphins at the Bills. Versus the Dolphins is an interesting one too, just because, and I think this is like something that's kind of been like simmering a little bit in terms of how it's talked about. Like, are we worried at all about the Dolphins playing in cold weather in January?
No, it's a fair concern. We'll find out. I mean, but like I said, they're still my third team in the AFC based on what I've seen so far. It feels like Mike McDaniel is the right guy for that job.
I love Mike McDaniel.
And, you know, to close the season, they only have two cold weather games. Otherwise, they're playing two in Florida, two in California, and then at Buffalo and at New England.
Yeah.
Right, there's only six games left, but yeah.
I just named it's
33.3333%.
Well, right. So you win one of them, then that you won half your cold games. Oh, we lost Brent. He tried to do math and his computer broke. That's a classic.
Oh, that's too good. Brenton. Too good. All right, Breach. Let's wrap this podcast up. I'm just kidding. Hey, let me ask you this. Since I am the junior draft analyst, part-time senior draft analyst, when I do the podcast. What'd you think of my guy, Marcus Jones? The only bright spot on the Patriots offense, who, by the way, was drafted as a cornerback, played cornerback primarily at Houston last year, but he also returned kicks, also took a couple snaps on offense at Houston and was incredibly dynamic. And I think the Patriots are like, you know what? Our wide receivers are not very good. Let's put the 5'8 cornerback that we drafted in the third round out there and see what he can do. And he did it.
I couldn't believe what happened. He's just so electrifying. You know, I put his name on the map with a punt return against the Jets, and then to come out and do this on his first offensive touch of his NFL career, go out and score a touchdown. I'm literally thinking they should just throw wide receiver screens to him the rest of the night. Guess how many more passes he got, Wilson?
Did he get one more touch?
He got one more. He got one more target, and also he caught it. But that was it. And the Patriots were like, you know what, we'll figure something else out because our offense runs so smoothly and scores a lot of points. We're going to ignore the most electrifying guy on our offense and only let him play five snaps the entire game.
So I went and looked up my draft notes from last year. He was my CB9, and I checked my notes. The only reason is because he was 5'8". I said it in Slack. If he was 6 feet, he'd have been a first-round pick all day long because he is so dynamic. We saw what he did, as you mentioned, to beat the Jets at the end of that game as a punt returner. Where did he rank among the cornerbacks drafted? Like, was he cornerback one? Was he cornerback 50 in that draft class this year? What do you think?
Low.
How many cornerbacks went ahead of him? Let me put it that way so it's clear.
14.
Oh, my God. You checked. 12.
No, I literally have no idea.
12 went ahead of him, and he was drafted in the middle of the third round. I thought he would be a late second round because of his height. And typically guys that are 5'8 and play cornerback don't get drafted until day three, but that's how special he is. And a lot of that's obviously punt return. So great pick by the Patriots, excuse me. And literally the only offense they had. Oh, let's also talk about Nick Foles. How does he doink a 48-yarder? He hit it too low on the ball. Is that what happened?
My God. So I'm actually glad you brought that up because I wanted to bring that up. And this is like Tom Brady, I hope he was watching the game and saying, oh my God, deflated football. Please, somebody turn that into Roger Goodell. Because look, when you kick in cold weather, it's usually harder to kick the ball further, except Tyler Bass, you know, crushed his 40-something yard field goal in the first quarter. But it looked like he just was aiming it. And when you aim it to try and get it to go right down the middle, you lose a little juice on it. But yeah, when you're kicking in 30-degree weather, the ball, the ideal gas law, you lose a little pressure. The ball becomes more difficult to kick, and it doesn't go as far when you kick it. And that is basically what it comes down to.
That was woefully short.
Wait, are those K-balls more or less they're not deflated, right? I mean, it's not a deflate gate joke. It's just like, how much does that hurt your
foot? They're more firm. I mean, they're brand new footballs. So when you're talking about, you know, like if you have a basketball that is pumped up to the brim, it bounces, you know, it bounces super high. But if you deflate a little bit out of that, now the bounce isn't so good. And so that's kind of what you have. That bounce is the football off the kicker's foot. And so the bounce isn't as good, and it's not going to go as far.
Right, so you have, yeah, but I'm just saying like, feels like that would kind of wouldn't feel great on your foot.
Well, I mean, despite all that, it is shocking to see an NFL kicker fall short from 48 yards, if you throw the cold weather factor. If this was a negative 2-degree game or it was 8 degrees outside, that would have been one thing, but it was in the low 30s. You know, that's a kick you probably
need. Nick Folk didn't look that shocked, though, afterwards. Did he? Did you? His face to me looked like, oh, I don't think I hit it as well as I was supposed to.
Well, you know who did look shocked? Belichick. He looked like he was going to cut him on the spot.
No way. Folk's been good for him.
He's missed some kicks a few weeks ago. He missed a bunch of kicks. I think it was windy, but
going into the season, he had been good. He's not the same. I mean, they had three kickers on the roster because they want Folk kicking off. That's how they feel about his
life. They didn't promote. They had J.J. Harris on the practice squad. J.J. Harris? They didn't promote him because they were ostensibly just going to feed Ramondre Stevenson, which, for my prop bet purposes, did not work out very well. Nick Folk of the season, he leads the league in field goals made and field goals attempted. Not great for the Patriots, I would suppose, there. 86%, that's fine.
I don't know. Belichick might disagree.
I mean,
I think it was 86% going into this game.
Going into the game. I mean, yeah, it was 90.
And now it's 82 point something.
I mean, that's unfortunate, but you know what happens? It happens when Matt Patricia is your offensive coordinator, you're going to find yourself in like
poopy. How about that?
Poopy. That sounds terrible. Undesirable field goal situations of particular length.
And, you know, if he hits that field goal, 17-10 at halftime. So that was...
I mean, 48-yarder, he should be able to hit.
For sure.
Yeah.
It did feel like the game was closer than it was one of those where it was like the Bills were kind of letting him hang around and then just sort of eased away in the second half, and the Patriots had nothing after the break. The Bills' path to the number one seed...
Ooh.
What kind of odds would you want to make the AFC number one seed now, knowing that the Bills have the tiebreak over the Chiefs, but are obviously behind them because of poopiness?
There it is.
9-3, 9-2. KC plays the Bengals. So in other words, like Buffalo would be the number one seed if the Bengals win on Sunday.
Breach, did you pick the Bengals to win that game?
You know it. How could I be wrong?
They won two in a row.
They've got Mahomes' number.
All right, let's settle down on that.
Hey, Mahomes just had a baby this week with his wife. You know how much sleep you get the week you have a baby? Zero. He's going to be...
You get a lot of sleep, but it's not your first baby and you're worth $700 million. You get plenty of sleep.
You know what's funny, Breach? Like his wife had a baby and he still had time to go on the New Heights podcast for 2 hours.
So, that's because the baby was napping. Skin. You got to work your life around the baby's naps.
I think it'll be fine.
That podcast... I can't believe he told the stuff that he told about the Chiefs draft process. Not that it's that big a deal, but like Matt Nagy sent him the plays that he was going to have to go over on the whiteboard with Andy Reid in order to make him look great with Andy Reid. And then Mahomes went to the Chiefs and was like, hey, these teams have told me they're going to draft me at this spot. You need to be here if you want to pick me.
Look, when you're a Hall of Famer, you can tell those stories. You don't tell those stories if you get cut after year two.
Mr. Trubisky's not telling those stories. I mean,
he ain't saying them out loud.
So the
when he is telling them, people are like, "Yeah, sure, whatever, Mitch."
Right. Bills have the Jets at home, the Dolphins at home, and again, this is why I thought that it worked out for the Bills. It's fine. That's why I thought they should sit Josh Allen. It's like, what if this game and then these next two games are going to decide whether you have a home field, a home playoff game or not? At the Bears, at the Bengals, Patriots at home. Of those five games, with a 10-day break before the Jets, what is their record? How many of those five games do they win?
I think they go 4-1 at best.
So that gives them what, 13?
There's one
best case scenario is
we know where you think they're losing, Breach. We get it.
I mean, they could lose to the Dolphins. They might.
Nah,
there's a couple tough games in there.
I think
best case is 13. Is that what you're saying, Breach?
Yeah.
They can win all five. I think it's probably 4-1.
Yeah.
On average, I wouldn't be shocked at 3-2 because of.
Yeah. Thing is, they go 3-2, they're not winning the conference.
Yeah, that's sort of what I was getting at. Like,
they can't go 3-2. They can, but they don't. They shouldn't want to.
Right, because the Chiefs have, of course, the Bengals this weekend, at the Broncos, at the Texans.
Here, hold on, let me stop you real quickly.
Chiefs have the Broncos twice.
Let me ask you this: we'll say at the Broncos just for poops and giggles here. What is that spread going to be? The Chiefs at the Broncos in 2 weeks.
Chiefs -9.5. It gets bet to 11.
The wins over Wilson.
11 against bet to 13.
The wins over Wilson is 15.5.
What?
I mean, that's right. Yeah.
I'm not joking. Like, that team is terrible. I don't want to get stuck on it, but that just sticks out to me how backwards that team is.
And while you're talking about that, the Chiefs have the easiest remaining strength of schedule. Their opponents' combined winning percentage is 371. Yeah. The Bills' opponents' combined winning percentage for their final five games is 544. So 544 to 371. Pretty substantial difference.
I think worst case scenario, the Chiefs lose one game, and that's like this week.
I think like total Armageddon for the Chiefs is 4-2.
I mean, I don't know where the other loss is coming from. Maybe Seattle gets red hot and Kansas City. I mean, here's the thing that I forgot about, and someone, I think Greg Doyle, our buddy at the Indy Star, who we used to work with back in the day, mentioned this.
After
the Monday night game, the Colts beat the Chiefs this year.
That's crazy.
That's a true story. So I suppose anything's possible. But it feels like I don't know where the second loss is.
And the Titans, with a quarterback making his second career start, almost beat the Chiefs, took the Chiefs overtime.
Yeah, it's so. Yeah, maybe there are two losses, but I mean,
this is historically the in terms of like close games, the by far, like the most historically the NFL season that has featured the most close games and like crazy comebacks and stuff like that. I do think that there's also a little bit of, at Raiders week 18, even if you have that one seed locked up, do you play Mahomes to get the MVP? You know what I'm saying? Like that.
I don't think people sit. I don't know. I don't know if they, you
Andy
guys
Reid
are
loves to sit people.
You guys are big proponents of that. I don't pay attention to it. So
Andy Reid does it all the time.
By the way, Breach, quickly, Manny Hidalgo in the chat says he's been cashing in on Breach best picks for the past 3 weeks. Have you been picking well?
Breach is on fire on these early best bets. It's crazy. Nice.
Crushing them. Brinson's my good luck charm. I tell him that every week. It's the only podcast where me and him are like best friends. All the other ones.
Is it because you're rubbing his toupee? Is that the good luck part?
Are we casual acquaintances right now? What's happening?
Yeah, we're just we're best friends on that podcast, but Wilson's here to like separate it, so we can't be best friends here.
We just become best friends.
Yep.
Yep. Real 100%. Quick on the Chiefs, since the start of the 2019 season, Patrick Mahomes has a 33-3 record in the months of November, December, and January combined.
Wait, but didn't he also have like no interception or one interception in September? I mean, what is up?
But to that point, he's 0-2 against the Bengals and 33-1 against everybody else.
Wow.
In that 3 month period over the past 3 years.
Were both those losses to the Bengals in January last year?
Yes, that was when, because, you know, the season was 18 weeks for the first time, so week 17 got pushed back. It was the second to last game of the year.
He even won his, like, week 17 start with when he wasn't even the starter.
Yeah.
The Broncos in week 17 of 2017. They clinched. They sat Alex Smith. Mahomes started. He beat the Broncos.
To Wilson's point, though, the Bengals beat the Chiefs on January 2nd and January 30th, so it was 4 weeks apart. Last year.
Cool. I think Chiefs, so the one seed. Bills have a path, but it needs a lot of luck. for it to happen.
There's a path.
There's a path.
Anything else for this game?
Mm-mm.
But did we beat down Belichick for not calling the timeouts? What was going on there?
We did not. All right, let's touch on that really quickly. I actually mentioned at the top of the show, so great job by me. They're down 14. It's after the 2-minute warning. So, I mean, the game was over. But Sean McDermott went out, sent Josh Allen out there and told him to take a knee with like a minute 50 left after an unsuccessful onside kick. And the Pats had all three timeouts. Like, that's a weird spot to be in because you take the knee, you're saying, hey, look, we're not going to run any plays. Let's get out of here. Let's keep everybody healthy. It is a very unlikely chance that the Patriots get the ball back, score a touchdown, kick an onside, because you have to use your timeouts to get the ball back. Any first down, the game's over. You have to go score a touchdown, get an onside kick, score another touchdown to tie it up and go to overtime.
What side are you coming down on?
Belichick didn't use every opportunity to win the game that he had.
All right, let me lay out my, because I was whinging about Jeff Saturday doing this on Monday night. But the difference for me, Brinson and Breach, is that it was 24-17, the Colts were behind in that game. He just said, F it, I'm gonna go home. Whereas this game was 14 points, and it would have taken the miracles Brinson described, and then some, like Tom Brady
in the Colts game, like knees were being taken, and you could only like force more knees. Like the Patriots could have forced them to run plays.
To what end, though?
What?
Well, if the Bills go 3 and out, the Patriots use onside kick. And the Patriots use all three of their timeouts. They're going to get the ball back with like a minute 40 left. You'd get down, score a touchdown within 40 seconds. You have a chance to get the ball back again in a minute.
I get it. I'm not going to. So
like, it just seems weird for him to have given up on the game like that. And one other thing that I'm surprised more NFL teams don't do, in that exact situation, if I'm down two scores and I have three timeouts so I could plausibly kick it deep and they have their whole hand up on the line. No, I'm asking my kicker to just target a player. Kick it as hard as you can. 2 feet off the ground at a player, and if it goes past him and rolls downfield, that's fine because they only have one returner back there.
But
if it bounces off the guy, nobody knows where it's going to go, and you could recover it. Like anything could happen, could go crazy. Onside kicks have low recovery rates, but boom, you smack that thing off a player.
The way the guys line up, what if you just shoot the gap and you have your guys going dead sprint down the field and just
because they know where the ball's going,
that you hope that it settles in there like that. I mean, not saying that that's a cheat code for this new onside stuff, but like, I don't know. Like, it's just Belichick won a Super Bowl down 28-3. It's weird that he wouldn't call the timeouts there. I think it was a gentlemanly thing by Sean McDermott to say, we're going to take knees. Because you take one knee, it's basically like your first run play anyway. And if Belichick calls timeout, then you run plays and then you can escalate things in the post game. I don't know, man. I think you call the timeouts. I would call the timeouts.
Yeah, I was yelling at Jeff Saturday about it. And I guess you can call him. I don't mean it. At the end of the day, we knew how the game was going to end on both accounts.
All right. Okie doke. That'll do it for us. Squeeze out 45 minutes on that Mies game anyway. But that's life here on the 6 podcast. By the way, if you didn't hear it at the top of the show, Ryan Wilson has a new podcast with the first pick. Congratulations to Ryan. Subscribe. You can watch it here on this podcast. You can watch it. Sorry, go ahead, Bridge.
I was going to say, C-Rad pointed out the freaking New York Jets were trailing by 14 in week two against the Browns and still won. So, like, it's not impossible.
It's really weird that he didn't do that for him. We grind every edge so aggressively. Anyway, Wilson's got a draft podcast. You can watch it here on this YouTube channel. You can listen to it by going to your preferred podcast platform, which is just too many alliteration P's for me, and search for With the First Pick. Subscribe, support Wilson.
Go USA.
Go, man. Oh, Saturday, baby. Let's go. 10 a.m.
You need my prediction since I've gone 2 for 2?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah.
1-0 USA.
Do we have a yay?
Let's go, boys.
I don't have like a celebratory noise, but I agree. Let's go. If you see a windmill, you kick it. And you punch it and you knock it down. It's a touch, man. You got to go hard. For Breach, for Wilson, I'm Brinson. See you guys later. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching.
The baseball season is in full swing, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stample, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll talk waiver wire ads, drops, players to trade for, prospects who could make an impact, and everything in between. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.